Hola, and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. As we record this, it is Boxing Day, and we're very thrilled to be recording on this very special holiday. As you're hearing it, it's probably December 30th, maybe the 31st. It is near the end of the year, so this is our special year-end broadcast of the LPP. Let me get to the introductions. My name is Nostradamus. On my right, the lovely and talented Dionne Warwick.
Hello.
To my left, the new psychic among us, Sean Spencer from Psych.
Hey.
And across from me, the always talented, the mother of all of us, frankly, Miss Cleo. It's okay. I know what you're going to say.
Well, you know, the longer you listen to this podcast, the more we charge you. Did we get any feedback about the theme song debacle?
Oh, no.
Last week?
I think we may have.
We may have?
I think we may have. We'll get to our reader mail later. There may be a comment in there.
Apparently, there's music.
Cleo, something wrong over there? And in case you're not aware, those names actually are myself, Doobie, my wife, Rebecca. Gulp. My son, Captain John.
Son, huh? Okay.
And the uncle we don't talk
about. Why did you ever tell me this before?
And the crazy uncle fanboy.
Hi.
Oh, you decided to speak. Welcome to the show. You don't like Miss Cleo? I think back of all the things you've been over the course of the show, and Miss Cleo's the one that sets you off. If you'd like to reach us, you can do so at podcast11place.com. You can call us. Leave a voicemail. It's free for you. Actually, I think it's a flat rate for me, too. So
send us your predictions for 2009.
866-718-9408 or post a message in the discussion boards. And Rebecca is correct. What we want from you now are your predictions.
Your love and adoration.
No. I've got enough of that in my life. I want your predictions for 2009, especially if anything, frankly. But what we really like are predictions.
Disney?
Anything. But something in the area of Disney theme parks, Disney films, and anything else Disney. But any one of those, all of those, other stuff, whatever. Just give us some predictions. We will read them on the air. We'll write them down. Give it to them. You can give it to us now. You can give it to us anytime throughout the year. And at the end of the year, we will see how wrong you were, just like we were this year, which we'll get to soon. But first, yesterday, as we record this, was the annual Pentultimate Boxing Day parade from the Disney Company.
The Boxing Day parade?
No, the Pentultimate. It's the day before.
That's not the way it works. It's not Eve.
Boxing Day Eve parade.
Yes, it was. I think they called it this year the Christmas parade, Christmas Day parade. So did anyone get to the park to see it?
Actually, I was there at 10 o'clock. There was not much of a parade. There was an announcement letting everyone know that there will be a parade at 12 and 3:30.
So who did get to see the parade here? I think I did.
I know I did.
Yeah, me too.
Wait, we were all together.
Except for the
captain.
And
you were there?
Except for me.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Oh, you missed out.
I missed
out. They did something new this year.
What did they do?
They broke news.
They broke news?
Well, at least for us, it was something we hadn't heard yet, so that was exciting. Yeah.
You know how since 1972, they've been rumors that they would be adding floats to the electrical parade?
Okay.
They're actually adding floats to the electrical parade.
At least that's
a
rumor.
They shared concept images of a Tinkerbell float for the electrical parade.
I thought Tinkerbell was already in the electrical parade. She let it off, didn't she?
No, that's the Blue Fairy. Tinkerbell's the one that spins around.
Tinkerbell's the one that's on the stick on the ship.
They sell her at Corn Dog Castle, actually. Tinkerbell on a stick.
And it's always Sleeping Beauty that people think leads off the parade because of the blue dress, but it's the Blue Fairy.
You think the pink dress.
She has wings, doesn't she?
But for some reason, you always hear people go, "Oh, look, it's Sleeping Beauty."
But
no, it's the Blue Fairy.
How long does it take people to realize that, like, it's supposed to be like her dress that the float is? It took me forever to figure that out.
She had
like,
a creepy body.
Like, why is there only half of the Blue Fairy up there?
Oh, that's funny.
Because like, it just doesn't look like.
Why
a
is
body.
Her dress so big and her body so small?
Because it's a float in a parade.
You know why? Because they didn't really think it through very
well. Do you remember that one time that we saw them rehearsing the parade from the Grand Californian Hotel, and it was just the dress going down the street? They were practicing. None of the floats had any performers, so it was just this dress was
and
going
you could
down.
See that from the California?
Yeah, you could just see the dress.
That's
going.
Not proper.
It was bizarre.
Well, also, I think like a couple days later, they did it with performers, but in just clothes.
Oh,
and
really?
So it was very odd to see. This weird person kept climbing out of the little train engine, waving kind of oddly, but channeling Goofy.
There's only so much you can do.
That's what happens when you put a hotel in a theme park. That's something you can do. Don't put a hotel in a theme park.
Well,
I'm just saying.
No,
but I don't think anybody's supposed to. They
need a big, like, long curtain that just goes.
Yeah, that's what I pay for.
They need to darken
that
dome.
View? No, I'd like the curtain.
Darken the dome so you can't see.
Shine a bright light in your room.
Speaking of,
did that with that little light over that lighthouse.
Oh yeah.
Over there at DCA. Woo!
Speaking of fairies, though,
need to be universal.
Didn't they say Tinkerbell stars in a new, brand new movie? Fairies.
Yes, they did in the intro. They got it right during the parade. So speaking of the parade, would you guys?
Oh wait,
think
the other value of the magic moment. Sorry,
go ahead.
Before you go. I found it very an odd choice in talking about the new Pixie Hollow experience that they actually said, you know, you can go. They showed footage of Disneyland and the new Meet the Fairies there.
Right.
And they said, yeah, and you can meet Tinkerbell and her friends in Pixie Hollow at Disneyland or Walt Disney World. And I just thought it's kind of.
I presume they didn't meet at the same time.
Yeah. But it's just an interesting. For example, they have Mickey's Toontown at Disneyland and Toontown Fair at Disney World.
They didn't say due to firing Jack Sparrow, you can now meet Tinkerbell over at Disneyland.
They did not.
Jack Sparrow was in the parade though.
It was just very strange.
That's surprising, actually.
Yeah. I was just surprised that
they
used the same.
They filmed it last year and
same language. But go ahead.
So, parade. What'd you guys think this year?
It was fun.
Okay, I went through a whole bag of M&M's.
Yeah, Rebecca had us playing a little game. Every time they said the word celebrate or a form thereof, we M&M.
There you go.
We did not do it when they sang the celebration song, though.
That would have ended it pretty quick, I think.
And we did make it through an entire bag.
The entire bag. And a small one of the just the typical bags you grab at the checkout counter.
Right.
They ate an entire bag from beginning to end.
Not peanut or crispy.
Nope.
Do those
or mint chocolate. Yeah. Just the plain. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, we got to hear this, huh?
Yeah, you know, you can download it at Disney.com/celebrate.
Oh. Is that Cordon Bleu?
No.
Yep.
No.
No?
Not this particular version. No comment.
Is that like a knockoff?
Yeah, it was. I went to Central Park and they were selling CDs.
Did you get
CDs.
That from, like, Disney.com/celebrate? URL still here.
I went to Disney.com by mistake.
We did count Disney.com/celebrate in the M&M eating.
Okay.
So they referenced that URL a lot because whenever there was a performance. Oh, and you can see it again on Disney.com.
I did appreciate the salute to all Disney World Christmas Parade hosts, but mostly Regis Philbin. Because it shows you how different the parade was 25 years or 18 years ago.
It seems so much more fun.
It used to be a fun parade. This is the 25th, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
The 25th Christmas parade.
No, 25th annual. They missed a couple years.
25th annual, more or less. And they showed a lot. Coming out of commercials, they'd show clips from older, and then they also did a Regis highlight show. Remember when they said, Jack? And it was fun, as Rebecca said. It wasn't always this slick, synergistic piece. It used to be... Well, live for one, but it also used to be fun. Mm-hmm.
But, okay, tell me, how was the new mirrored castle float? I hear that's...
They had very strange characters on it this year. They had, like, Perla and...
Mm-hmm.
Who's Perla?
Perla.
The mouse from Cinderella.
They have names?
Yes.
Susie and Perla. The two of them that you see have names. Okay, Susie and Perla.
I getcha.
Yeah, and then... it was so nice to see from out in California the Christmas Fantasy Parade.
A real Christmas parade.
They added Pluto to it.
I really like that Christmas parade.
There's a special. So what was your favorite performance number? Who performed this year? They had...
Corbin Blue performed the Celebrate song. Sarah Brightman performed Silent Night or something mellow like that.
Something boring.
Hey.
It was a Christmas moment, ironically. Billy Ray and Miley.
Mm-hmm. And the Jonas Brothers.
And Vanessa Williams.
Well, that was old.
It was a finale number.
American Idol guy.
Oh, David Cook.
And Julio Iglesias.
No. Jose Feliciano. Nice try.
Everyone confuses those two.
No.
Jose Feliciano.
No, they don't.
I hear Jose did.
Was there any? Oh, and the Imagination Movers.
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah.
Give a gift to your mother. Give a gift to your father. So, give a gift to your brother. Give a gift to your sister. Give a gift to your boss. Hey, give a gift to your.
Give a gift to us. Shut up. What was your favorite?
Wow. What was my favorite?
Oh, I know what my favorite. It wasn't one that was mentioned.
Oh.
Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, super.
I hate that part. But other than that, that's a cool part.
You missed the part where they're saying supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Shut up. No, that whole S-U-P-E. Never mind. I'm not getting into it. But
too much for you.
It's like YMCA gone crazy.
It's why. That's my only question. Why? Just so we can show off that we can learn these moves and do them fast? That's the only reason why. It was a good song before. It really was. Nominated for an Oscar.
I don't know.
You know, but you got to be careful. Because once I said it to me girl, and then she ran away.
And that's what happened to the girls from WWE.
Oh, I don't know. Honestly, they
all
left
so
me.
Good.
They all, no, they were honestly this year I didn't come away from any of them being particularly enamored. I was like,
Feliciano was so random. Like you had the Jonas Brothers, Corbin Blue, Sarah Brightman has her new CD, Billy Ray, Miley. Okay, I get it. And Jose Feliciano.
Feliz Navidad.
Maybe he's going to be part of that whole, what's that new thing?
Disney Pearl.
The yeah. Pearl.
From the creators of Yanni. Comes yeah. Jose Feliciano.
Seriously, they're brothers?
Little known fact.
And the sad thing is they're all performers that I like. Ashton, for example, I love the Imagination Movers. But that song with the give a gift to was a little too much. It was a little too repetitive.
You'd rather be in Neverland.
For my taste. The Corbin Blue song was fine and dandy.
It was brand new. Never heard before.
I think I like the Corbin song the most, I'd have to say.
So that's good, because you're going to be hearing it a lot.
I did not like the Miley Cyrus song this year as much as last year. I preferred her rocking around the Christmas tree to what she sang this year.
A Christmas party.
This year it was Santa Claus is Coming to Town. No, that was Hillary Duff a few years back. Yeah.
You should know, fanboy. I know you loved it so much.
I'm trying to remember what it was this year.
Was it? I don't know.
Okay.
I should know it.
Okay, so this year she sang Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Last year it was Rockin' Around, and I liked the Christmas tree song better.
What did Billy Ray sing?
Did he not sing? I don't know. Let me think about it. You can read the email while I check.
We have an email regarding this Christmas parade. I shall read it. Hello, I'm Job. Back here emailing you.
Isn't it pronounced Job?
I think you're right. There's no E at the end. I'm Job. Back here emailing you guys. Do you know why Mickey and Minnie did not speak at this year's Christmas Day parade?
Huh?
And the definition of speak here is that they talk back to Regis and Kelly and their mouths move. I remember last year they did talk back to them. I found it both shocking and fun to watch. Maybe I think maybe some heart attacks. They had to... No, but that
was funny. We said the same thing when we were watching it. We're like, why no articulated Mickey and Minnie?
Yeah, kind of weird. No, we don't know.
They were
was
so
it Run Rudolph Run? Is that what Billy Ray sang?
Yeah,
happy to be there that they're just smiles.
Yeah, they're just frozen.
It's like yes.
You know what I think? Money. No, I think okay. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. Disney parks are trying to save money, in a potential softening of the economy, right?
Yeah.
So, hence the fact that suddenly half of the special was rerun, and there wasn't. Not that it didn't come across as cheap, but when you think about some of the things that they might have done otherwise, they probably didn't do because they were trying to just be responsible.
Okay.
Last time they did, they used to show Parade of Dreams as well, so it'd have an extra parade too and stuff. They didn't do a lot of that, and a lot of it,
That's true.
So I mean,
a lot of it was just kind of the B-roll that they have laying around for
them. I think it's smart. I don't mean to say negative, but if you notice, if you're wondering why some things might not have been included this year, I would not be. I don't know what the budget for the Christmas parade was, but I would not be surprised to find out it was less.
All right, The answer is Disney's cheap.
No.
Frugal, economical,
efficient, capacity.
And I would like to continue. And I would like to say that they made available for download the theme song, Celebrate You, sung by Cordon Bleu, on Disney.com/celebrate. But what's more interesting is the size of the download is 30-plus megabytes.
It's WAV file. It's not.
And it's a zip file that contained a WAV file.
Yep.
Wow. That is.
It's radio quality.
It's a wave inside of a zip.
Well, you know, if they were really economical, they'd understand they'd save, you know, their server space by having a smaller file. Yeah.
It's a wave zipcom. John Madden loves them.
Bandwidth isn't free, fanboy. He continues. Also on the site, some video of the performances from the parade and Miley Cyrus's Sweet 16 party. Why did they not make a whole TV special of Miley's party? Are also available for viewing. Till something Disney-related gets my attention, bye. P.S. What if the amount of birthday celebrants equivalent to near full park capacity shows up at Disneyland a particular day next year?
Won't that be fun to see?
You will hope that you're not there as well, because I'd be miserable.
It'll be interesting to see how that all works out. There are all sorts of rumors about the reevaluation of the whole process as they've been getting their registrations and seeing what kind of stuff's going on. And so it'll be interesting to see how everything kind of settles out once it's put into practice.
So thanks for your email, Job, and good job with that one.
Ba-dum-bum.
Next up on our agenda today, before we get to our stellar roundup of the end of the year.
Stellar.
The movie we've all been waiting for. When this year started, we looked at the slate of Disney movies. It all culminated. You got your Wally, you got your Bolt, but it all led up to the movie at the end of the year, Adam Sandler's Bedtime Story.
Wasn't this a slot that National Treasure 2 came out, or Enchanted came out last year?
Enchanted. I think so, yeah.
And National Treasure 2 came out the year before.
So they know what they're doing in this slot. Consistent quality. So this year they saved it for Bedtime Stories, and Fanboy and I had the opportunity to see that Christmas Day night.
Is this 50 words or less?
No, this is Disney Review.
This is Disney Review.
Yeah. But before we begin, I would like to invite a caller to share his thoughts of the movie.
Hey, LPP, I wanted to give you a quick call to tell you a story. And since it's late when I'm calling, let's make it a bedtime story. There was once a really bad movie that I went to see with Doobie and Fanboy on Christmas Day. The reason it was so bad is because it tried to be an Adam Sandler movie, when it really wasn't. The humor wasn't there for it to be, since it was still, of course, just a Disney movie. The humor that seemed to be there, of course, came from the hamster Bugsy, and felt pushed a lot of the times. And, really? Like, Bugsy was just a really bad ripoff of a much better and funnier hamster, Rhino, of course, from Bolt. The only thing that kept me awake to enjoy it, just a bit, was the really random things that happened and showed up in the film. I think you guys are going to talk about it. Buzz Lightyear, I mean, come on. I mean, yeah. So please, even if everyone out there is an Adam Sandler fan or even thinking about going to see it, save your cash, just rent it on DVD later.
No.
It's not worth it. thumbs down. Yeah, not worth seeing.
Oh, wow.
And also, really, I have to admit, I'm really upset that Disney dropped the Narnia series. I really love the series and hope that Walden Media can get someplace like Fox to pick it up, the Slack, because... so it doesn't slow down production of Voyage of Dawn Tender too much, because the actors aren't getting any younger, and for casting's sake, I really like the cast, so please, Walden Media, I hope you find a new partner for the series. I really want to see at least one more movie being made of the Narnia series would be nice, so hopefully they find a new partner for that, and, well, that's all, and again, I hope you all had a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I will see you in 2009. This is Diz Freak Brent signing off for 2008. Bye.
Calendar 2008.
You know, one thing got in the way of our Merry Christmas. And that brings us back to Bedtime Story.
Yes, there was no pizza.
Oh, okay. You know what?
I think that's the whole reason you didn't like pizza.
This movie was so bad that if there was pizza... it still would have been bad.
Yeah.
So Brent summed it up pretty well there.
That the hamster was nearly a redeeming quality, except if it wasn't a ripoff of another hamster, which is more funny anyway.
Yes, except it wasn't nearly a redeeming quality. It was actually quite irritating, mostly because it was kind of funny.
Except it was forced.
But overused. The crowd loved it. Every time they just turned the camera on him. And he served no purpose. It's not like Rhino had a purpose in the movie beyond just being funny.
Right.
The only reason this hamster was in the movie was so they could turn the camera on it and do something funny or just show his eyes. At no point other than that.
That is so true. There was no point to this hamster. There was no reason he was in the film at the beginning. Like they set up like, oh, it's a gift from the father or anything like that. He doesn't save the day at the end. It was just so they could go like, so, what about Bugsy?
And yet every single time the crowd.
So
the reviews have been pretty rough on the film, especially on Adam Sandler's performance in particular. They've really torn into him. And my favorite review, though, of all of them was Rick Bentley from the Orange County Register.
All right,
and he summed it up. Once Bedtime Stories hits DVD, it can live up to its name. It will certainly put you to sleep.
Oozing.
I don't agree with it. It wasn't boring.
No.
But you know what could have, what did not belong in that film? Rod Schneider.
That was horrible.
Like, why are you in this?
That was horrible.
This is not a normal Adam Sandler movie. Go away.
Who was enjoyable? His friend was enjoyable.
Yeah.
The weird comedian guy from the MTV Awards that caused the hoster. I can't remember his name right now.
But, oh, it's off the tip of my tongue.
Dick
Russell
Van Dyke.
Russell Brand.
Yes. Yes. He was enjoyable. Yep. And the kid. The male kid was very, very cute with his huge lisp and mispronunciation of words, which I have a special affinity for.
Aww.
So, I did enjoy that. I should have said a special affinity.
You should have. It's a water bottle.
Water bottle all over again.
You know, it did have, beyond the Rod Schneider cameo, they did have another very interesting cameo in the space sequence.
As mentioned by Brent, Buzz Lightyear. They're scanning the crowd. Sorry, Austria, if you haven't seen it. This doesn't tell you anything about the plot. They're scanning the crowd, and you see all the weird aliens, and there's Buzz Lightyear.
The full theme park.
Not like a... They could have done a CGI thing. It was the walk around.
Like the guy you meet when you go to Tomorrowland.
That's really sad.
Think about that. It wasn't a CGI bug or anything. It was the walk around.
Is really sad.
But like...
Surrounded by, like, Ewoks and stuff?
He was sitting in the
end. Essence?
Yeah. I mean, what were they? Were they...
They were just random aliens, you know, but, like aliens you expect in a live-action movie. You know, there are people in costume, like Star Trek aliens or something.
Yeah.
And then a rubber head.
Well, that's bizarre.
That's really strange.
But, like, there was all that weird stuff in the movie, because, like, the movie starts where it's, like, the fantasy and then the real world, right?
Right.
But then... Like, they're all roasting marshmallows and looking at the constellation, like, oh, it's a pyramid. Oh, it's something else. Oh, it's Bugsy. And then you look up, and there's a constellation of Bugsy. And what?
That was the weirdest thing. Aside from the fact it wasn't funny and it was stupid.
That it avoids any logic at all.
Yeah, it sets it up very nice. I don't want to ruin it, but it sets it up really nice to where it's very clear early on. There's the fantasy and there's the real. And, as you know, the plot is about the kids tell the story and then it comes true in real life. But they set it up so that when it comes true logically. It's not like weird stuff happens, but stuff that's possible happens. You know, real-world physical stuff
The
happens.
Gumballs don't just actually come from clouds. There's a reason why it's raining gumballs.
Gotcha.
Right. And then, as the movie goes on, they seem to completely break that rule, and stuff that's absolutely absurd happens for no reason
at all.
Like,
randomly just doing the hokey pokey.
Yeah, and,
How bizarre.
It's a dumb movie.
Oh, that's too bad.
So, on Doobie scale of 1 to 10, 1 being bad and 10 being good, this movie is a negative 2.
No, in fairness, as we talked, there's bad, like, I need to get up and leave, or I need wild bad, invisible bad, smart people bad.
What it had going for it is it wasn't boring. It wasn't hard to sit through it.
Right.
So it wasn't a negative, but it was not a good movie in any way, shape, or form.
No, I would give it probably a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 4.
I'd give it a 3. And then maybe a 2.9 if you include the trailers, because among our trailers was... G-Force.
And see, here's my thing on G-Force.
Now, that comes to Disney.com on December 29th, so you can compare it to how they describe
G-Force. I was excited about G-Force. A 3D Disney Bruckheimer movie with, like, super spy animal talking animals. What's not to love?
What could go wrong?
Exactly. And the trailer just didn't capture that magic I was looking for.
It felt, like you mentioned when you were trying to describe what it is, it felt like the Chipmunk trailer to me.
Yeah.
So, and that movie was much better than the trailer, so maybe we'll get the same out of G-Force. Mm-hmm. I did not see any Rock and Roller Coaster anywhere in the trailer, just for the record, so I'm a little confused by that.
But. Ooh, my ankle.
That's too bad.
And then, as Brent mentioned, the other movie news from this week was Disney announcing that they would not be making another Narnia film, which broke my heart as well.
You know what I was thinking about? We saw that special on TCM, you know, because Disney – and about Disney movies, because Disney's are my favorite Time Warner movies. And
It was called The Age of Believing, and it's hosted by Angela Lansbury.
Who
and it
they
features...
described as a charter member of the Disney family.
Yes, they did. Which...
Who, I believe her first production was after Walt passed away in Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
So that was an interesting...
But as they said on TCM, who better could be the voice... I don't know, Julie Andrews.
It was a really good special. They had interviews with just tons and tons of Disney actors from the period. Dean Jones.
Mucci,
Nancy Olsen.
Tommy Kirk.
Kim Richards.
Leslie Ann Warren.
Lots and lots of people. Plus filmmakers as well.
Richard Sherman.
Voices.
So. I know he was tough to get.
If you get
Bill
a chance
Cotter.
To see that on TCM, I would highly recommend you.
No Dave Smith.
Check it out. So you started that for some reason.
Oh, Narnia reminds me of those live-action movies that Disney started in the old days. You know, sort of like an action-adventure. It takes place on a continent.
The Sword and the Rose,
yeah.
Rob Roy.
Yeah, takes place filmed not in the United States, not modern day by any stretch of the imagination. That's what it reminded me of. And, I mean, I got to be honest. I did not like Cutthroat Island, Rob Roy, Sword and the Rose. Slipper and the Rose was okay. But
Pete's Dragon?
No, I like Peach Dragon's different, but those original live action films, those didn't really do a lot for me. But I did like Narnia, and it just sort of harkened back to that. And I'm sad that at least that franchise won't be continuing forward with that tradition.
I concur 100%. Prince Caspian is one of the
top movies
of the year.
Isn't it the case though, where that there might be that Walden Media might be able to team up with another company make another...
It's presumed
they
will.
It's dead to me.
If you go that way.
I'm watching the Christmas parade, and there goes Prince Caspian. And I said, they weren't in on the meetings.
So it'll be too bad to see it go away from Disney for you guys. I'm not a fantasy fan, so I didn't really... I haven't watched Narnia again, and I didn't go see Caspian. It's just not really the genre that interests me, so I'm...
And you are the problem.
Apparently I am the reason.
But you look at it, and you know the problem is it's just too expensive. And that's, you know, it's funny because those original live action movies I was talking about were made because they were cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, I understand if you're not going to make your money back, you probably don't want to do it. You know, especially on something that's not even your product, your franchise.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I get Disney's decision. I mean, I'm as a customer, I'm a little
guest. Actually, they call them. Right.
I think when you see a movie as a moviegoer. Because when I'm at AMC, I'm not a guest. If they would have pizza. And they would – so, you know, I'm upset that I'm not going to be able to see it, at least for free and as a tax deduction. And – but I do understand Disney's stance on it,
mm-hmm.
100%.
Right.
So looking back at 2008, Narnia, Prince Caspian being one of the movies, let's take a look back at the year that was –
Back in time, back to the land of 2008.
Before we get...
It's kind of like that moment in the Christmas special when they were like, and now we're going to show you classic moments from the past, you know, years of the parade. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary. And the first one they show is 2006. You're like,
wow.
Whoa, way to reach back.
So far back, it's in HD.
I know.
Oops, sorry, Happy.
Oh,
I noticed they didn't show when Michael Jackson performed.
So this year Disney presented us with a variety of different types of movies, and they included College Road Trip,
thank you,
Wall-E, Beverly Hills
Chihuahua,
the Hannah Montana flick, the Prince Caspian, Bolt, High School Musical 3, Bedtime Stories, and Tinkerbell the movie. But
jingle.
That was a home video, but theatrical style, to the point where
home
they even had
premiere.
The big red carpet premiere and everything.
It was red carpet?
So, well
no. I'm sure it was some
not.
Other color.
Probably not, but yeah. So yeah, it was quite the year for Disney films.
Captain.
I?
You saw many of these.
I saw many of these,
What
yes.
was your favorite animated and live-action Disney film of the year?
Favorite animated and live-action? I would have to say Wall-E for animated.
Yeah, okay.
And for live action, I'd have to say Prince Caspian, I suppose.
Prepare to die.
Yeah, prepare to die. I'm Prince Caspian, prepare to die.
See you soon. Anybody else want to
My favorite animated would be Bolt. And then my favorite live action would be the shocking Beverly Hills Chihuahua. I just really didn't go in expecting much, and I had a great time. I really enjoyed it.
You should go see Bedtime Story, see how that goes.
which is contrary to what happened to me with WALL-E, where I went in with great expectations and just wasn't that.
Oh, WALL-E, I'm thinking you said Bolt.
No, with WALL-E, whereas like the previews had me so interested and whatever, and then when I got there, I was kind of like, no, that was nice. Once again, the most beautiful and well-made film I have no interest in seeing again.
My favorite animated film of the year of the two that came out this year would be Bolt.
Oh, what a plot twist.
My favorite live-action film of the year would be The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian.
Not College Road Trip? I mean, come on.
Thank you!
My least favorite Disney film of the year of all of these would have to be WALL-E.
Below Bedtime Stories?
Yes.
Really? Wow, you really didn't like it.
No.
Wow.
Bedtime Stories. Okay. I gotta be honest.
I'm like, come
WALL-E
on.
WALL-E was a much bigger disappointment.
Thank you.
Bedtime Stories are the worst movie.
Okay.
If Ratatouille was this year, that would be below Bedtime Stories.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's just funny.
I'm going to go with Prince Caspian for live action.
Worst?
No. And Bolt for animated, with Bolt being my favorite Disney movie of the year. For the record, Dark Knight, favorite movie of the year.
Oh, I agree there.
No question.
And my least favorite movie of the year would have to be...
Smart People.
Yes. You know, it wasn't a bad year. My least favorite would be Bedtime Stories, but... That's, you know, I mean, and I didn't dislike it as much as you did, but if that's the worst we had, I mean, I would say every other movie was good.
Isn't it just great that they, you know, they save their worst movie for like right before
the new year? Oh, we forgot a segment. Great, not great. Bedtime Stories.
I think you've answered that pretty clearly. Yeah.
Okay.
But looking at the slate of movies from this year, though, by our great, not great. Not great meaning just not great, not great. what of these movies would reach the great criteria?
Bolt.
That's all?
Prince Caspian, WALL-E.
See, for me, no. WALL-E's not great.
Okay. Yes.
What would yours be, Captain?
So those so far?
Yes. What would the great movies of the year be?
Dark Knight, Iron Man.
Yeah.
I would have
to. We're just going with Disney, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Hannah Montana was great. It's not like a movie exactly, but you know,
for what it was,
for what
a
it
concert
was,
film.
It was great.
Exactly.
So WALL-E, Prince Caspian, and Hannah Montana,
and Bolt.
Yeah,
and Bolt.
Rebecca, you were saying?
For me, it would be Bolt, and then Tinkerbell movie for what it was. It's a direct to video, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the next one. I mean, I'm anticipating the next one, and the Hannah Montana film I thought was great for a concert film. I mean, utilized the 3D technology well too, so that was fun. Yeah.
How about you? Those would
be mine. I'm just gonna go with one, say Bolt. I mean, maybe it's just because I saw that special, or you just look at the span, and so you can't have like bazillion great movies, but I think Bolt was classic, great. If you want to go with like really good,
really good, not really good.
Yeah, then High School Musical 3. Mm-hmm. Hannah Montana, Tinkerbell, but great classic. Will be one of those movies I look forward to sharing with my nephew. Would be Bolt.
Tinkerbell and Bolt for me are both there. I really enjoyed them a lot.
I would have three. Bolt, of course, as you said, the best Disney movie of the year. Prince Caspian, because it is the best family action movie I can remember seeing.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point.
And Hannah Montana. Not that it itself was that great, but it's just this new Disney genre of a concert film just done so amazingly well, and it could, you know, usher in a whole new
I agree with you on that.
See how it goes next year, because next year they've got, you know, Jonas Brothers. We'll see if they can
would love if Disney had movies that, you know, and they did five or six a year, and then they kept having these sort of events just all the time, and they're smaller, so they don't have to make a lot of money, but, you know, just like... You know, the Hannah Montana, Jonas Brothers, even maybe just do like some sort of theme park thing. You know, just like a reason to go to the movies and see something Disney without having to be an epic production.
They used to do that. What Leonard Maltin used to talk about when Age of Believing thing, didn't he say, like, they had their movies and then they had their bread and butter?
Right, yeah.
You know, they kind of go from the epic to the...
But, like, I mean, things changed with...
filming in Tobago for Swiss Family Robinson to, you know, something easy to make.
Things have changed with television and everything, But, you know, still... But I think there's something to be said for going to the movies, and but because the cost is so high to make a movie these days... You know, just the stuff like Hannah Montana, which is just really, you know, you sell 500 tickets, you made your profit. It's a good idea.
So normally we would do something similar for theme park attractions, but this was not the most stellar year for theme park attractions.
Well,
so
that's right.
Instead, I'll just throw it out there. We've got a list in front of you of some other highlights from 2008.
Play. I'm wet.
What sticks out in your mind, either as a highlight or a low light or a personal memory, anything like that from the great year of
The Disney Animal Kingdom celebration, I thought, was just phenomenal in the way that they embraced the fan community and provided. They had the moment to open the park with, you know, Joe Rohde and,
Jane Goodall.
Thank you. I could not think of her name.
She did the vocalization too. Everything.
Yeah, it was so cool. And then they had the presentation by Joe where he just went through the creation process of Animal Kingdom, and I just learned so much about the park and just developed a deeper appreciation for it. So that is definitely something that for 2000, you know, that kind of defines 2008 for me. And then the other moment that defines 2008 for me is just how out of touch Disney can be, and that was with the way that they handled the Small World debacle.
Did you notice
how they handled that in the Christmas parade? You'll see exciting new additions, including a whole new land or something.
Yeah. Yep. So it was just it was just so funny, the kind of juxtaposition of the almost igniting an internet fire with the way that they chose to handle the controversy surrounding the It's a Small World transition that they're getting ready to do out there at Disneyland. And then this Disney's Animal Kingdom celebration. So those were you know, really strong memories for me. And then, unfortunately, another memory will be the passing of Harriet Burns, who I just really adored, had the opportunity to talk with on several occasions. And, I mean, unfortunately, as, you know, it goes, we lose more and more of the people who are, you know, richly connected to the history of the theme parks and, you know, were there when it was being built it with their own hands. And so this year we lost Harriet and we lost Ollie Johnston. And it's always hard when that happens. So, you know, but we have their theme parks to go visit and celebrate all that.
And movies to go see.
And it's really, yeah, and it's just they're special people. And always with these events, always when these events happen, Disney is so does such a good job of celebrating their life, their career, and reminding us of what they did and the magic that they make, and so you leave uplifted. And so it's those are, you know, the memories that I'm gonna take from this year.
Perhaps,
what about you guys?
Perhaps my most resonant memory was the Jonas Brothers concert. Because it's where I first got to learn that diabetes was something to cheer.
And you met the trash can.
And I met the trash can.
The trash can.
Who did not make a stellar appearance.
Ironically, at Disneyland.
They're at Disneyland, where you know that they are everywhere. And yet we searched and searched, and we could not find a trash can. However,
which might explain the subpar performance, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
And but to me, 2008 would be the year stuff actually happened. Pleasure Island closed. They renamed Disney MGM Studios to Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios.
They announced a new float to the Electrical Parade. They reopened the Sleeping Beauty Castle walkthrough. They started work on changing DCA. Who knew?
This just in, I hear a very warm place that suddenly froze over.
As I was telling Doobie yesterday, I think what they should do is get Walt's remains from Forest Lawn and freeze them. Just to let everything come true.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, that's so true. So many things that you kept hearing. Oh, did they announce the coming cruise lines?
That was prior.
That was the year prior? Okay.
Yeah. Captain, any highlights, lowlights, midlights?
All right, everybody stand back. Now everybody lean in for the picture.
Yeah. Disney Channel games.
Disney Channel games.
That was awesome. The
concert was
awesome.
That was a great moment.
It was. The rain came, but nobody left.
Nobody left. We were all smooshed together.
Spotlight on the trash can.
Exactly.
The green team wins. The blue team wins.
The two winners.
By the way, I don't even really know. I didn't watch it on TV, so I don't know who actually won.
No idea. Anything else?
You stole everything I was going to say. It's tough.
I didn't steal it. I haven't gone yet. Well, I have several.
I know Toy Story musical's got to be on there for you.
Well, first was the announcement of Night Kingdom. That was really exciting.
Oh, what about finally announcing that thing that's next to the Contemporary?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. That's another one.
Like, oh, what's that?
But when I went back through our syllabi from the beginning of the year.
No, I'm not writing the Matterhorn until the end of the year. It's going to sink.
One of our first shows, we talked about the Night Kingdom rumor, so I don't think that one happened yet. But as Rebecca said, Toy Story musical may have been the single greatest highlight. That was
so
awesome.
So much fun.
A, getting to go on board the Disney Wonder, and
finally.
Two, getting to see Toy Story musical.
Which was great.
Our 100th show, I must say, that was a fun time. The time
106, by the way, so we're back up.
That was fun doing our 100th show. Arabian Nights.
Yeah. Oh, wait, why is this here?
I think I'm still hungry from that.
We celebrated Fanboy's birthday.
It might have been more memorable if we saw the stallion.
The LPP covers all of Disney
and
our group outing.
Yeah, okay.
Which that was.
Yes.
And then the biggest disappointment had to be the Wave at the Contemporary. The new restaurant.
Yeah.
That was,
dude, were we looking forward to that?
Except.
With one exception.
The grilled cheese that accompanied a soup.
Can we go
of
back
the day
there tonight after the show?
That does not appear anymore.
So, that's it. It was not the most stellar year of all time. Hopefully, there's a little more going on in 2009.
No, but we had fun.
We heard from some readers as well, chiming in with their favorites of 2008.
Oh, very cool.
Rebecca, what you got there?
Let's see. Stu writes. Movies we enjoyed in 2008, DVD release, Enchanted, College Road Trip, WALL-E, Bolt in 3D, and Tokyo Mater, and Stu got to see it in 3D.
Oh, jerk. If I was a guest, I'd get to see it in 3D.
At the theme parks, highlights included the opening of Toy Story Mania, which gets an exclamation point, the reopening of the Sleeping Beauty Castle attraction, which gets 3 exclamation points.
Toy Story Mania would have had more if he knew that the name was actually Toy Story Midway Mania.
Oh, it says Toy Story Midway Mania. I just misread. Blue Sky Cellar preview attraction at DCA, and it's, you know, coming changes to DCA. The new monorails, despite the problems with the cooling. And the redone It's a Small World at Disneyland, which, in my opinion, it's a good thing, he says. And in 2009, do you want to know what he's looking forward to in 2009? Okay, more changes at DCA. Possible announcements for Tomorrowland refurbs, hopefully a People Mover replacement, Star Tours 2,
and a
History replacement. These are the hopes.
My hopes, my dreams.
And then looking forward to Up, Witch Mountain, and Princess and the Frog.
So,
and
I just mentioned G-Force.
Obviously, this is all based upon the hope that the economy and world situation will improve so that Disney feels they can reinvest in infrastructure more, you know, again. So.
And,
thanks, Stuart.
Ferret Afros writes, for the year in review, I can't really say there's too much to comment on. The year of 1 million dreams was finally allowed to pass on, but the impending What Will You Celebrate campaign isn't terribly promising, though I am looking forward to getting a $70 gift card on my birthday.
Me too.
WALL-E was a great film. Okay. And I'm hoping it gets the recognition it deserved from the awards coming soon. I'm hoping it does too. Bolt was really good and shows...
Razzie?
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't bedtime stories. Bolt was really good and shows that the studio is definitely heading in the right direction. It's getting me excited about the Princess and the Froggy just thinking about it.
Princess and the Froggy?
I added that part.
Okay.
He did right, uh-huh.
And finally, just to show you how smart we all are.
Yeah.
Every year we do our first show, our premiere show, with our predictions for the upcoming year.
Yep.
And then in our ultimate show of the year, which would be this one, we look back at those predictions to show you how smart we are. So,
yeah.
I hold in my hand 12 predictions, three from each of the four of us. in one particular category. So I will just go down the line. For theme park, the captain said Pirates of the Caribbean will have a holiday overlay. Yes or no?
No.
Fanboy said Epcot will announce a major new attraction to the World Showcase.
No, addition. It says addition.
I'm sorry, a major new addition.
Because I'm here to save the world.
That
Impossible
is not,
is not
no,
major.
Sorry.
And is it even there yet?
Well, it was announced.
It's announced.
But it's not major.
So I'm sorry. Yeah. Nope. Can't give you that one.
Rebecca says the Toy Story Zoetrope is coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios. No.
Yeah.
And Doobie said Toy Story Mania will open at DCA and will be a huge success and have raved on the internet.
Ding, 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 ding.
Doobie gets one right.
Yay.
So far, Doobie is the winner. For the films, the captain said, Prince Caspian will be hated by the critics.
I think it was 97% Rotten Tomatoes score.
66%, okay. Which is far from hated. That's French.
Far from hated, yeah.
Fanboy, Disney Pixar will announce an animated sequel other than Toy Story 3.
Yay!
Are we really counting, what, Cars 2?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
That would have count. To count.
That would
yes!
Have to,
yes it would
of course
have to
it would count.
Is it direct-to-video?
No!
Theatrical.
Is it major?
You have to give it to him.
Please!
You have to give it to him.
So, Fanboy.
I nicely said, yes, you are correct on your theme park trip.
Rebecca announced National Treasure 3.
Yay!
And Doobie. High School Musical will be a flop, meaning make less than $75 million.
Aww.
Dummies.
It made $89 million domestically and $145 internationally.
Hey, you weren't too far off.
No. It's not that far off.
No, you're right.
It's not a flop.
No,
no it was not.
It wasn't $100 million.
But it wasn't the theatrical spectacular box office smash
right.
that I think some people initially
they deserve
expected.
Half a point for that.
But no.
No.
It was it was the largest opening for a musical ever, live action musical ever.
Fine. And
beat out Howard the Duck.
That was a musical.
And then we did other corporate news.
Yeah, anything else other than theme park or films. And the captain said another Broadway show will be announced. So we had a little discussion on this one.
We're still torn.
I'm convinced that they announced Hunchback in Notre Dame. It's coming to Broadway.
And the rest of us aren't quite
I'm convinced.
Well, and then the other thing is that they have announced several titles that are going to, like, workshops or kind of off-Broadway locations and with the intent of Broadway. So I don't know that you can really, you know, just say flat out no.
So we will... Because
I think this was based upon the kind of disappointing numbers that had been seen for Tarzan and the, you know, moderate numbers for Mary Poppins. And the negative buzz surrounding Little Mermaid. So we were kind of all wondering if theatricals was simply kind of going to fold altogether. So I think he should get credit for
that. All right,
this
we'll give him credit for that. Fanboy says Disney will make a middle to large acquisition, meaning over $100 million or larger than Club Penguin, said it'd probably be a content acquisition. And what was that acquisition?
It didn't happen. Yet. Although, did you notice towards the end of the year,
buzz
started
rumors.
Heating up about EA.
Yeah, there have been rumors that they're
I have seven more days.
EA.
Yeah, that week between Christmas and New Year, that's when all the big news hit.
And I said that a theater similar to the El Capitan would be announced for Walt Disney World or West Side Project. And while that didn't happen, they did actually announce that Pleasure Island was going to close and undergo major changes. So maybe mine could still come true.
Only if they build me an IMAX.
And my last prediction for the second year in a row was Dick Cook will be named president of the Walt Disney Company. Probably not going to happen.
Hey, Magic 0214 had some predictions. How'd he do?
He did better than us. He said he said Toy Story Mania will not be
the top three. No, never mind.
He said Toy Story Mania will not be a disappointment. It was. So he's wrong about. I'm sorry. It was not. So he's right about that. He said Animal Kingdom will receive a new thrill attraction.
No.
He said the Mexico Pavilion will sell more merchandise with Grand Fiesta Tour.
No, that's probably true.
Disney Cruise Lines with the Toy Story taking the place of Hercules will bomb.
Oh, no, I don't think that's true.
And thankfully, not literally.
Yeah.
Haynes will sponsor a ride, hopefully a good
see,
one.
Here's the thing, though. I think when was he referring to a new ride? Because they announced that they were sponsoring Rock and Roller Coaster.
Right.
So
if they announced that when they first announced Haynes, then it would have to be another ride.
I don't think they did.
And although, did they announce sponsorship of the Baby Care Center?
I don't think they announced sponsorship of Rock and Roller Coaster.
I don't know about you, but
yes,
that's not a ride.
They announced the sponsorship of Rock and Roller Coaster in Halloween time 2007.
Uh-huh.
And finally, his boldest prediction of all, Mary Poppins will take the place of Beauty and the Beast show at Hollywood Studios.
I don't think anything ever is going to take the place of Beauty and the Beast.
A warm place will freeze over.
A warm place.
But a round of applause. And yes.
Yay. So please email or call us with your predictions for 2009, because that's what we're going to share at our in our next podcast. We're going to share our predictions. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think will happen at the theme parks? What do you think will happen in film? Any other corporate news. And you know what? Even if you if you don't have a prediction, share a wish.
I think I'm gonna go a little early, and I'm gonna predict for theme parks that Toy Story Mania will open at DCA and be a huge success. That that Disney will announce National Treasure 3, and that another Broadway show will be announced.
Okay.
Because you won't remember that happened in 2008.
Ta-da.
Alrighty then. So.
So yeah, I have some. I think some of my. It'll be hard for me because I have a lot of wishes for 2009. So I'm gonna have to sit down and.
I promise you that will still be going on
I'll
in 2009.
I have to figure out which ones I want to put down as predictions versus wishes.
All right. Well, for the captain's challenge, I'm just going to be answering it this week. I'm going on vacation for questions, but. I think we got a new blood here. I'm not even sure how I pronounce this. S. J. Diamond.
I would pronounce that S. J. D. I. M. O. N. Actually.
Well, then there you have it. I believe that Ralph the Dog did debuted with ads for Purina Dog Chow, and that would be the correct answer.
Bravo! Yay!
Congratulations. You win this week. Absolutely nothing.
Bragging rights.
So there you have it.
Well, thank you, Captain, and we look forward to more challenges in the coming millennium.
Millennium?
No.
That's a long way away.
Doesn't the millennium officially start in 2009? Everyone else celebrated back in 2000, but it really starts in 2009.
Okay, yeah.
I think it starts in 2012, right?
Like Doobie World.
Ooh.
Ferret Afros writes, hey, LPP.
Yeah, you know me?
Yeah, I know you, but you don't know me. Isn't that a little creepy?
Yes,
Ferret
actually.
Here.
Like when we went to the movie with Brent and he knew all of our movie-going traditions.
Okay, that was really freaky.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He joined you on your walk of shame?
We only had to go to Theater 18, but once we got in the theater, he knew it all.
Oh, that's awesome.
F.A. here, just writing to say that I'm one of your allegedly small listenership of the podcast. There you go. There's the other one we saw.
Yay!
And to say that I really appreciate getting to hear you guys share your opinions about Disney news. On the last podcast, Rebecca asked if anybody's dog slept on the power strip like Happy does. That's really Disney-related. I can honestly say that I don't think my dog even realizes we have a power strip. He's getting a little senile, so he may be refining it each day. So I've never managed to catch him using it like a pillow, though I do like the mental image of it. Yeah. That's really nice.
Yeah, it kind of worries me. I do my best to discourage it, but, you know, he keeps returning to it, so I'm like, okay.
You guys also talked about how most animated characters with famous voices don't look anything like their human counterparts. For the most part, I would completely agree with that statement, but I was watching The Lion King a few weeks ago, and I realized how much the hyena Banzai, is that the name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He put a question mark. Played by Whoopi Goldberg, looks just like her.
You know, that was one thing they did do with The Lion King. Simba looks a lot like Matthew Broderick. Mufasa looks a lot like James Earl Jones. Timon looks a lot like Nathan Lane, very short and skinny.
Did you do all that just to get to that? Yeah.
I was gonna say, I think that you can see the mannerisms of people adopted, but not the visual characteristics.
Yeah,
except
for sure.
With the, possibly with the Whoopi, I don't know.
Well, he says, with the long dread-esque bits of hair hanging over her face,
that's smart,
and many subtle movements, there's no doubt.
Yeah, that's it.
No doubt in my mind that it was done on purpose, and really
totally.
Does a great job reminding me of her without being too over the top.
See, the thing is, they always do that. Wasn't the Lion King kind of like the? It's all downhill from there almost when it comes to.
You know, that was
like by most people's standards.
That was Disney's 32nd animated feature.
They did.
Felt like an hour and a half.
Because they did that with, like, you know, Ariel pushing, no, I'm sorry, Belle pushing her hair back. Yeah, they adopted that one. From, the, yeah, but I think all of them have some sort of, you know, mannerism or characteristic of
Ariel
the performer.
Ariel looking like seven different ways depending on the scene.
The a blues walk.
Just like Phil Harris. That's why you always see that footage of Ollie, right? Ollie yep. dancing. Yes.
As long as we're on the subject of the Lion King.
The Lion King.
Boy, it was nice that they showed that footage from last year in the parade.
With Chicken Little in the background.
Yeah. No, it was the cast of Tarzan Rocks in the
right.
background.
Chicken Little was in the background for a different
scene. Yeah.
I guess I should mention that last night my family went to see the touring stage production of it as it was in town.
Oh, very nice.
Without giving anything away, it was interesting to see how they had to modify parts of the movie to fit the stage.
Mm-hmm.
We really liked the costumes, particularly the people dressed as various plants and other random objects.
Yeah.
And overall effect of the show, the Stampede stands out as a real highlight of the well-planned staging of the show.
In tonight's performance, the part of Grass will be performed by Claire de Rune.
And then Banzai with Snickers.
Guys loved Little Snickers. What were we watching the other day when you guys were talking about Snickers? Oh, I think it was
Grinchmas. Grinchmas, yes. Grinchmas.
The music was incredible. I knew it was based on Label M's work, but I hadn't heard much of it. And Rafiki absolutely stole the show. Is it a woman in the product?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Performed by the same person that does the storyteller in Aladdin.
And Nemo. The new songs
worked. Peter Pan.
No. The new songs worked well, and I really enjoyed Simba's song and Nala's song in the second act that used the main theme from the movie score with words. It really helped me bring everything together. It is a great play.
Mm-hmm.
The cast was amazing and never failed to impress us. Many of the performers have been in Festival of the Lion King at DAC, which I found amusing, along with many other Disney connections, including the actor who played Mufasa being one of the vocalists for Mickey's Jam and Jungle Parade. Rafiki was a vocalist on the Lion King film soundtrack, and Ed was Gil in the original cast of the Finding Nemo musical.
Oh, that's awesome. How fun.
A great show with innovative staging techniques, and I would really recommend it to anybody. He goes on to talk about some of the songs from The Lion King and some of his other favorite songs, but we're saving that for a future one because we want to hear your favorite villain songs.
Yep.
And he ends with, what better way to spend the morning of your New Year's Eve than looking for me on TV? That's right. I'll be making another appearance in the Rose Parade with the USC band. I believe this year, Fanboy, who are they playing?
My second favorite team, Penn State.
That's right. As we're going to be spending our New Year's in UCLA's home stadium.
It's random. An ad just appeared on our TV for the upcoming New Year's Day game as Jimmy reads this.
He rubs it in.
Creepy.
His
USC band is spending New Year's Day in our home stadium.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, you are dead to me.
Which reminds me.
Just like Narnia.
Schnepps, don't we owe his charity some money?
Oh, that's right.
What was that for?
For the UCLA-USC game.
That didn't go so well. Whatever.
What charity was it?
I think it's Ryman Carroll. No, it's Ryman Carroll.
The Coalition for the Advancement of Sociologically Hampered. They go by their initials. Send them a check.
If anybody's interested in looking for me in the parade, I'll post my location in the block on the boards once I know more. But I'll probably be in the second or third row on the far side from the cameras. And, of course, this all relates back to Disney because we will also be performing at Disneyland on December 30th. We will play on the steps.
What do you play?
We will play on the steps of the Main Street Station at 2:15 before heading up the parade route. If anybody's in the area and willing to brave the crowds at the park, that's about it for now. Season 3.
Did he do that?
He doesn't say what he plays, but if he's in the second row, he must be a tuba.
They still have that crazy guy.
They put the tubas right up front, don't they?
No.
Do they still have that crazy guy leading their band?
I thought that was not the USC band.
Oh, because he was an All-American College band. He was from USC.
Okay. But
I don't know if he's still there.
All righty then.
Our buddy Dave tries to always go to Disneyland when the bands come to perform, so I wonder if he'll make it out there. Hope he can. But if not, be sure and post what instrument you play so that we have a better opportunity of finding you. Maybe somebody can send
a
picture.
Something like the piccolo?
Maybe somebody can take a picture with their cell phone and send it to live, and then everybody can see you, and you can be famous.
Does it plump, whistle, toot, or boom?
Plunk.
Plunk and a whistle and a toot.
Plunk, not plump.
By the way, it was approximately...
Well, you know, when you put a trumpet in the microwave, it plumps.
It was approximately 7 or 8 days ago when I realized that song was referring to different types of instruments.
What did you think it was? Ooh,
I'm not sure I'd heard the whole song. I just knew the title, and I finally heard the song on LPR. And then it, some instruments go plunk and some. So anyway.
Now that DB has a cell phone that has better wife internet service, he listens to Laughing Place Radio in the car all the time.
It's a good station.
It's nice. It's good.
What's the frequency?
Yeah, exactly. So we have an email from Ryan. Hi, LPP.
Yeah, you know me and not Bad Boy because he's yawning.
Miss Cleo over there.
I thought about writing to you 2 weeks ago when you were discussing Bolt, but after hearing this week's podcast, had to chime in to the discussion of celebrity voices in animated films. For me, the presence of a recognizable film totally ruins the movie.
Recognizable.
Voice, I think.
You said
film.
Oh, I'm sorry. Totally.
When I was watching Bolt and suddenly Citizen Kane started...
That was Blade 2.
Sorry about that. Oh, I am not able to make the disconnect between the animated character and the celebrity doing the voice. I can't watch Nemo because all I hear is Ellen and Albert Brooks reading lines.
Wait, they said celebrity. I get the Ellen part.
The only exceptions I can possibly think of are Mufasa, Genie, Mrs. Potts, and Shrek, which isn't Disney.
Genie. That's
Every other celebrity voice totally ruins the movie. It's even worse in movies with talking animals. Like Charlotte's Web and BHC. Oh, Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Okay.
Chihuahua!
With celebrity voices.
S-O-T-D is what you're used to the abbreviation.
with celebrity voices. I just can't think of these characters with their own identity because all I see and associate them with is their celebrity voice. Even while watching Enchanted, the second I recognized the voice of Susan Sarandon, the animated scenes weren't as good. Once she went live action, though, I was able to believe her in the role.
Wait. So when you just hear her voice, you can't get past the fact it's Susan Sarandon. When you see her...
It's different, though.
It is different. I know exactly what he's saying. Once I heard that John Travolta was a voice in Bolt, I knew I wouldn't want to see it because it would just annoy me. It was funny. I didn't even recognize his voice. If you would have stopped the film halfway through and been like, so who's the voice? I would have had to have thought about it and been like, oh, you know what? Based on the materials you gave me, I know it's John Travolta.
You know when Bolt did that, sort of stuck his finger up in the air?
Did that little pelvic thrust?
they parodied it in an airplane.
They also did in Trenchcoat, right? That Margot Kidder Disney comedy spy film.
Or Airplane.
Sorry.
Trenchcoat.
There's only two movies that deserve to have Margot Kidder in it.
Can't Disney find talented voice actors that aren't celebrities? I'm sure they could go to Broadway and find a plethora of talent that would also cost them substantially less.
Plethora, actually.
Jodie Benson and Paige O'Hara are perfect examples that Disney doesn't need to bank on a celebrity voice to sell the movie. It's now become the norm that celebrities are added to these movies for no other reason than for their name value in advertising.
Mm-hmm. Has Disney ever had a celebrity princess voice, though?
Amy Adams.
Okay, but she was a live-action actress.
Anik Noki Noni.
Is that the closest one? I mean, she's hardly an A-list celebrity. I think it's smart not to.
I'd agree. Until
Adriana Castellani.
Until Bolt, when did Disney ever feature the voice actor's name in the trailer? Did they believe in the script that little that they needed Miley and Travolta to sell it?
Yes.
And Chicken Little, they did that too.
Zach Braff, right?
Yeah.
Was he in the poster? I just remember The End Is Near and seeing his butt. Not Zach Braff's butt, Chicken Little. I remember the dancing chicken that was everywhere, sort of like the Bugsy of that generation.
And Ryan concludes by saying, celebrity voices dominating animated casts needs to come to an end. I have to agree that I wish that they would go back to the days where you didn't have celebrity voices doing animated films, just because I don't think they're as good.
Or at least pick famous names that are not playing themselves.
That's more of
my problem.
But I'm trying to think... I mean, because it's hard for me, anyway, to know who was a celebrity back in the 60s and 70s. But, I mean, Lion King had plenty of celebrities in it.
Jungle Book.
Yeah, obviously Jungle Book, I mean, certainly the biggest one. I don't know, with Disney, anyway, how much bigger is it?
With Lion King, weren't they going, I mean, yes, I understand Matthew Broderick did film, but he also did show, like stage.
Oh, he was very qualified, I agree.
But I think,
he was a celebrity.
I think they do better when they pick people who come from a Broadway background than when they come from people who come completely from a Hollywood.
But John Travolta has a musical background. I mean, maybe not deservedly so, but he does.
So many Hollywood celebs do Broadway now. I honestly wouldn't know. Riley Cyrus.
I think people would argue about whether or not that has impacted the quality of the Broadway experience. So it's interesting to see that that's a similar argument is now being heard by animated fans too.
I just think the bottom line, though, at least from this discussion, is they're not choosing. It's not that they're choosing celebs. It's that they're choosing celebs just because they're celebs, as opposed to celebs who do really good voice work.
Like Ed Wynn. Would that be a celeb? Would everyone know? I mean, I wasn't around, but would everyone have known Ed Wynn? So when he was the Mad Hatter, you go, okay, it's Ed Wynn.
Yeah, and Jerry Colonna.
You know, and the earlier ones, obviously, they probably didn't have any money, so it's not. But, you know, I mean, Disney used a lot of character actors, which
essentially is
what they're still using.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're totally right in that that's one of the differences is that, you know, some, like, DreamWorks, I think, hires celebrities for the sake of having celebrities.
Yeah. Right.
But I think Disney is a lot of times it's like, you know, Ed, I mean, like casting Ed Asner in Up, and obviously we don't know a lot about Up, but if you're going to have a crotchety old man, Ed Asner probably will work fine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know he's a celebrity. But
I wonder if it's the difference is more in the framework. For example, I would have to, you know, more fully research, but like Alice in Wonderland, did the posters say, you know, Ed Wynn, Jerry Colonna, Sterling Holloway, Disney's,
right.
But whereas now, Miley Cyrus, John Travolta in Disney's Bolt.
Is that the only example? Oh, we weren't sure about Chicken Little.
Because I don't think in Lion King you had, you know, Matthew Broderick.
No, definitely not. But I don't know that you did in anything other than both.
I think you'd find that with Alice in Wonderland, it would have been heavily promoted on who was in it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Those posters are also a lot louder. But yeah, I think I remember seeing the name. You know, they had
at the bottom.
Yeah.
I remember. No. You're right. I can envision some of those posters at the bottom having those names there, Phil Harris and whatnot. So yeah.
I think we're romanticizing the past.
Because they're names that were to us, they're not celebrities.
Right.
Exactly what you're saying.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
it's
most
not a familiar voice to
most,
us, but
I mean,
it would be to others.
Celebrity, I think the Disney movies are more timeless. I mean, there's people that I know only for Disney work because I don't watch a lot of 40s, 50s movies or I watch Nick at Night every once in a while, but from the 80s, I guess. But you know what I mean?
I'll be back to Fresh Prince.
Oh, dude, you know what's on there now? I think it's like Third Rock from the Sun. I think it's on there now.
Wow. Remember when it used to be TV hits? So I guess, you know, I wonder.
I mean,
none of these stars are like superstars. There's not like Tom Cruise or, you know,
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is a superstar, but he's also known for doing voiceover work.
Mm-hmm. I think Disney knows how to pick famous people who can blend into what they're doing.
For the most part.
It's DreamWorks has an issue where they just pick celebrities because they are celebrities.
Yeah, like John Travolta, no clue. I could tell Miley Cyrus.
I think that's
but
the
it's
one,
also not a very
I think
developed
that's the one
character.
Weird
that's
thing.
That's the one, I think, obvious
that
exception
stands
to
out.
Disney's rule is Miley Cyrus.
And Chicken Little. I think Chicken Little is very much, let's just throw in a bunch of random people.
I never heard of the guy before Chicken Little, so.
Yeah, he's big. So.
Yeah, I know. Didn't we find out he's like second highest paid player
person
on TV?
But to me, he was kind of like, I mean, for my money, it was a very similar casting choice to Robin Williams for the Genie. It was just because of the character and the type of comedic talent that was, you know, there. It was like, oh, okay, Zac Efron. So, I mean, I don't know a lot about him, but when I heard it was like, oh, that makes sense. And okay. But same, and so therefore, same for me with Miley Cyrus, but I guess maybe because the Disney connection, you're like, oh, okay. You know, they're going for them. I guess it came across like...
Yeah, both Miley Cyrus...
It came across like a marketing
both
choice
Miley
instead
Cyrus
of an artistic choice.
And yes. Zach Braff came as very distracting to the movies they were in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, hopefully that's not a trend Disney will continue. They didn't do it in... did they do it at all in Meet the Robinsons?
I can't...
Tom Selleck.
Exactly.
They actually point him out.
Did you find it distracting in Cars? With Owen...
Oh, definitely not. The only
and Paul Newman.
The only place I noticed it in Cars was the boogity boogity boogity, and that was supposed to.
Yeah,
be.
The cameos, like you would notice. Yeah,
right. And you should.
Bob Cutlass. Okay, I get it.
Yeah,
but
yeah, exactly.
I mean, even Mater. Like, you know, I know it's Larry the Cable Guy, but I just think of him as Mater. I don't think that's a car trying to be
it
like
fits.
Larry the Cable Guy.
It fits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay for the sidekick. I don't want to be watching a Disney princess and hearing.
See,
that
it gets
voice.
In the way.
Don't worry.
It gets in the way for me with Nemo. I'm the same for him.
For Dory.
Yeah, I see
Ellen. For Dory.
Yeah. Shut up.
For Dory.
Yes. It really does get in the way for me with Nemo. So I don't watch Nemo as much as I think I would usually because I'm an ocean person and love little, fish and they're cute. But
nowhere it gets in the way for me, and I don't want to discourage this practice because I think it's really cool, but the John Ratzenberger thing. It's like you always go like, oh, it's time for John Ratzenberger. And, I love that he's in every movie. I love that sort of tradition that Pixar's trying to do. And
when you're watching Monsters, Inc. and all of a sudden
I think the one that's most is The Incredibles. And so I remember watching going like, gee, I didn't hear John Ratzenberger. And then suddenly, I am the Underminer. And you're like, oh, it's John Ratzenberger. They snuck him in.
How did they work it into Lifeboat? Never mind.
And it did. It took me a little bit to figure it out with.
Isn't that Alfred Hitchcock had the cameo in all his movies?
Oh, gotcha.
Thank you.
And they did, and it did take me a bit to get over Craig T. Nelson in Incredibles.
See, for me, Craig T. Nelson.
Mr. Incredible.
Yeah. So Coach? It took me a little bit, to get over it.
To me, Coach was just an excuse to watch Jerry Van Dyke. So.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad I didn't recognize that because to me, Craig T. Nelson is the dad from Poltergeist.
Oh, dude. That would have been a very bad thing.
Yes. And finally, we got an email from Imagineer That.
Imagineer That.
Woohoo.
Hey, LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
I'm not sure if you will get this before you record the final 2008 LPP podcast.
We did.
But I hope so.
Your wishes have been granted.
I was at Disneyland this past week to take part in the holiday festivities.
Aw, very cool.
The new lights on Main Street and the Christmas tree are a nice touch to the three acts of Sleeping Beauty's Winter Castle.
Aww.
In the last podcast, you mentioned your love of Luminati, which I saw only once but did enjoy. It was an early version. What are your thoughts of the reworking of the Luminaria soundtrack for the castle lights? You didn't know that, did you, Rebecca?
I didn't know that. I haven't watched the video on LP, I must admit.
It's got an awesome soundtrack, so anything they can put it on, it'd be...
Let it shine bright. Sparkle like the sun.
Is that the part that they use the chorus? Okay.
No, because I knew the song, but I didn't recognize what it was.
Oh, wow.
So I would have known that.
Oh, that's really cool. Oh, thanks for telling me, because, I didn't read my own website.
And he goes on, what are you guys' thoughts on the new cutbacks on entertainment at Disneyland? At least according to Disneyland.com, there will not be a parade at Disneyland after A Christmas Fantasy ends on the 4th of July, of January, excuse me. The Pixar Play Parade is scheduled at DCA for the month. Just think it's weird for Disneyland not to have a parade of any kind.
Well, there'll be a cavalcade, which is sort
cruise
of...
in the kingdom.
Right, which is normally what they do between parades. And then they have the street party, which at Disneyland is going to have a very... parade-esque.
For the celebrate?
Right, to celebrate today, whatever. I don't know what the thing,
what
the official title
celebrate?
Is.
Celebrate?
But, so it will have a parade. I mean, it's not as grand as Parade of Dreams, but quite frankly, if they have to cut, they're running Fantasmic 7 nights a week, so I'll take Fantasmic over Parade of Dreams.
Are you kidding? Parade of Dreams has been around just for a few years. Fantasmic's been around since, like, 19.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
They need to bring back the Parade of the Stars.
No.
PRC before I continue. Which will happen first, Fantasmic 2.0 or Star Tours 2.0?
Star Tours 2.0.
I think Star Tours 2.0.
I think A Very Warm Place will freeze. He goes on. My favorite part of 2008 was sharing my 25th birthday with the opening of Toy Story Midway Mania.
Woohoo!
Hey, happy birthday.
I'm exclamation marks.
A little late. And, well, I hope you guys have happy holidays and prepare yourselves to celebrate 09.
We are. We have so many things to celebrate in 09. It'll be fun.
That's for sure. And
Doobie's birthday, my birthday, the arrival of a baby.
What about me?
Oh, yeah, Fab Boy's birthday.
But we can't go to Disney.
But we don't go to Disney on your birthday. We take you off property. It's a rule.
We're going to... We don't
Capodes.
Know.
No.
Capodes, I think we're going on. To...
I want to make 27.
Oh, I can't even think what it's called. We're going to Wonderworks for their magic show. Yeah.
With pizza. Magic Ooh. Show with pizza.
They happy. We're guests at,
at
Wonderworks.
If they don't have pizza, we're going to Uno's after. And finally, he stumps the crew. Which cast member from The Suite Life appeared on Friends?
A Suite Life cast member appeared on Friends.
That's what he said.
Phil Lewis.
I'm guessing it was the original mom. Not the mom from the second season. The mom from the... Oh, wait. When did the mom change?
Dick York or Dick Sargent?
Did she change or just change her hairstyle?
No, I thought she changed.
So we have no good answer?
No.
I'm going to Phil Lewis.
I will now look it up without pausing.
Good answer.
I don't want you... And we're back. The answer is Cole Sprouse.
Oh. Not Dylan?
Who played Ben Geller.
Oh, that's right. I remember reading that.
Oh, how funny. Yeah.
And Phil Lewis, who played Steve, Chandler's boss.
Way to go, Mr. Fanboy.
I didn't know there were two.
They did not hire Dylan, according to IMDb, which he found unusual because they usually hire twins, although Ben did not have much of a part on that show. That's funny. Cool. Anyway. And finally, we have an email from, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with this person, Brent, Disney Freak.
Oh, really?
I think he's emailed us once or twice before. He writes.
Okay, well, you're right. The mom didn't change. Just changed her hair. I seriously thought.
That was an interesting email from Brent. Very timely.
And boy, wow.
Wow.
Well, LPP, you were thinking of Fresh Prince. The countdown is upon us to the American Idol experience.
Whoa, whoa.
What, were you expecting me to say 2009 in the new year? Isn't it karaoke?
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Karaoke.
Okay, so here we have from Brent. Well, LPP, the countdown is upon us to the American Idol experience.
Whoa, whoa.
What, you were expecting me to say 2009 in the new year? Isn't a karaoke attraction more thrilling?
No.
Okay,
terrifying,
no.
I think.
He says, no, fine, more on that in a moment. Now for my final Idol Edition email in Disney XD of 2008 for episode 106 of the LPP.
I'm confused with the website.
I'm so confused.
Last week, you had no idea where my intro to the email came from. Well, it's that and my It's Miley is from a show called The Soup on E!
You're right. We had no idea.
I used to watch The Soup back in the.
There was a big ad placement for it in the Day of the Earth itself.
Yeah, there was.
Oh, seriously? Oh, funny.
Cha-ching. McDonald's and Honda.
And his intro is from Good Morning America. A very excited Ann Curry wishing us all a good morning, and he gives a YouTube link so that we could enjoy it. Keep the opening theme. I like it, and jam out to it with every.
Ann Curry was on Good Morning America.
According to right here, I'm reading.
Isn't she on the Today Show?
I'm just reading the email as it was given to me.
Wait, who did the puppets for Lion King?
Tim Curry.
Oh, let us not start this whole thing again. Okay, keep the opening theme. I like it and jam out to it with every new podcast.
Well, there we have it.
Bam!
The eyes have
the
it.
Final vote.
La La Land is not an extension of It's a Small World, but could be used as a replacement name, but Demi Lovato's new video.
I saw that on YouTube.
Do I like the song? Sort of. But the video was good and included...
Oh, I beg to differ.
Some of the video were her co-stars from the upcoming series Sunny with a Chance. So I was excited about the new video. Eh, not really. But the new series doesn't look half bad, so I'm excited about that. You excited about the Sunny with a Chance? I'm more excited about that Disney XD show that they showed us clips of on...
Aaron Stone?
Yeah, that looks like
Aaron
fun.
Aaron Stone?
We saw it extended.
They showed it on... they showed clips on the Christmas parade. It's geared towards the boy-tween market. And it's one of the world's greatest gamers is
recruited by
thank
a
you,
spy
that's the word. I was
going
to say inducted, but that's not the right word. Recruited to be... And so then they show... So the clips they show, it's like he's able to do...
Demasculated?
In the clips they showed, it's like he's able to outrun the guys and do various odd trick things because he, in real life, does the kind of maneuvers that you do when you're playing a game. So it's cool.
Okay.
It's meant to get kids off the couch.
Oh, yeah, that was so funny. They talk about making sure you get off the couch.
No, wait, what was it? It was get into the game or get out of the – I forget.
About a kid who plays videos that's on TV, and somehow they're trying to turn it into a get off your butt.
Yeah,
it was funny. Okay. Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest, and welcome to the American Idol experience. It's Seacrest. Not something I can say I'm going to be thrilled to hear, but after taking a tour of the place, I have to say there are a few good points.
You know, in defense to Ryan Seacrest, he does a good job as host of the Walt Disney World Christmas Day Parade.
And Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Yeah. One might say he's almost... better than Dick Clark.
Okay, so Brent highlights from Brent's tour. There seem to be two stages of auditioning, so the singers shouldn't be that bad. The stage looks amazing if you've seen the concept art. It looks just like the set of the actual show. So you can gawk at the stage and look for hidden Mickeys. He says he spotted a few while he was there. To pass the time if you want to take in a show. The huge highlight of the attraction is that former Adventurers Club CMs will be playing the judges, which will give some laughs and at least know the judges will know about, you know, talent.
So which is why I am auditioning with the Adventurers Club anthem. Marching along, we're adventurers. Singing a song of adventurers.
I wonder how long it'll take someone to do that.
I have to say, as much as people may not like the idea, you don't have to go just because it's there. And you can even just swing by the front, by the jumbo screen to watch the finale each day in some AI clips.
Brent, we do have to go because there's nothing else new to go to.
and you're saying because Sounds Dangerous is there that we don't have to care about it on how horrible it is?
Sounds Dangerous is now seasonal. And you can tell how seasonal it is because it's not open right now.
Yeah, it is.
And Brent says he'll be auditioning. He just might have to, you know, for a good laugh.
Brent sings?
I don't know that he does. He says he's auditioning.
Brent, your next voicemail to us, we want a song.
Part of me wants to audition to see what the audition process is like, but I don't want to audition. Like, can I just sort of, like, be the parental guardian or something?
You want to be the fly on the wall.
You can audition.
Can I audition with bum 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 bum?
He continues, New Year's is just around the corner, and both ABC and Disney Channel have you set. You can either watch the ball drop in Times Square and the Jonas Brothers on ABC, or at midnight Eastern on Disney Channel, catch new episodes of Wizards of Waverly Place.
Well, let me see. I'll be asleep.
No, you won't, because the smoke will be pouring in from Walt Disney World and our dog will start barking because he thinks the house is on fire. This is how we spend New Year's Eve.
Burning up. So I think she's going with option A.
I'm going to get fired.
And during the night, apparently, you get to see what everyone's voted for as the top shows of the year on the Disney Channel. Brent will be braving Epcot Center.
Experiment.
And for what he says he is sure will be pure craziness. Have fun. We've heard all sorts of stories of that experience.
Speaking of which,
we haven't done
I
that.
Noticed that the podcast lexicon has transgressed. Nope. Transferred to the laughingplace.com homepage when you did a Laughing Place lotion.
Holidays at
the
experiment.
You noticed that, huh?
Don't you do your homepage just for me? Just like I write blogs just for you?
Every now and then.
He concludes, well, I hope everyone enjoyed the Christmas parade. I know I had an SUPERCALIFISTICEVIALIDOCIOUS time watching it after being at the taping.
This is when video podcasting would be so great.
Did you notice how talented the cast at the confectionery is?
They're amazing.
I had no idea. And this new Celebrate You theme is catchy, so I will catch you in the new year, your next American Idol, Disfreak.
Disfreak out. Thank you, Freak.
Oh, that was fun.
And your opinion of American Idol is way too high.
I so wonder how that's going to – we were just discussing this the other day. Maybe we should make a prediction. We should have a few things that we know are coming in 2009 and do like a great, not great prediction.
Oh, that's a good
like
idea.
Just pick a few – you know, like we know what films are coming down the pike. We know a couple of, you know, new attractions, parades. And be like, okay, which ones, based upon what we know right now, do we think will be great or not great?
We must do that next year.
I just don't know what to think about this American Idol thing.
That makes
I have
me
to
think,
admit.
Though. I know I would have said not great, and my final answer is great. But what about you guys, Toy Story Mania?
Oh, it's great. If you would have asked me at the beginning of last year, based upon what I'd read, I'd have been like, eh. And phenomenal.
It was great.
I wait in line for it.
Yeah. How about you guys?
Not the 2 hours it was the other day when we were there.
I would have thought it was not bad. I don't want to think I would have disliked it, but I thought it would be a C-ticket kind of thing. So I would have said not great. Good, but not great. Yeah. But now I would say great.
I think great's a strong word, but not great is too bad
don't
of a word.
Don't go back there.
So I have to go with great. Because
exactly.
It's more good than it is bad.
Now you need a new term for
better,
it.
better than your expectations? How
no.
About, so what, exceeded my expectations or lesser than my expectations?
About the same as my expectations.
Okay. What about what would you have thought about Bolt prior to experiencing it?
Not great.
Oh, I really didn't expect to like it.
Yeah.
Probably like exact reverse of what happened with WALL-E for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it as much as I didn't like WALL-E going in thinking the opposite. Yeah.
What was the biggest surprise of all the Disney movies that were released?
The biggest surprise was Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I was dreading going to that and left it going, oh, I can't wait for that to come out on DVD because it was fun enough I'd watch it again.
And WALL-E was certainly the biggest disappointment.
Yeah, I guess. The thing there was as it got closer, the buzz kind of started to shift as far as what the topics were and the flavor of the film, and so I began to realize, oh, maybe this isn't going to...
Maybe you need an imperative to separate your expectations.
This isn't going to connect with me in the same way that it will with others.
I think my biggest disappointment was Bedtime Stories. I didn't think it would be good, but I tend to enjoy Disney live-action movies.
Nope. I'm with you. I liked WALL-E, but my biggest disappointment would be Bedtime Stories. I didn't think it was going to be good. I didn't think it would ever say great. I don't think I'd ever said it was great, but I was disappointed it wasn't
After
better.
Processing a few of the reviews for the site, I said, I'm pregnant. I don't really feel like going.
And I think the captain was smart enough to skip all the disappointing movies.
Oh, yes. I'm the smart one.
But he's also the one that went to see Pirates 1, 2, and 3.
Hey.
Podcast11place.com, 866-718-9408. Post a message in the discussion board. Most importantly, give us your predictions for 2009, the upcoming calendar year, theme parks, movies, anything else.
And look at what's coming up and tell us, do you think it'll be a hit or a miss?
Yeah.
American Idol experience, hit or a miss? Pixar's
Kim Possible
up.
World Adventure. World of Color.
Up, right? That's
the
one?
Oh, yes. That needs a longer title.
Up
maybe
with
like
people.
With people, yeah. Oh, that was another thing that was weird in Bedtime Stories. They had the Kids of the Kingdom.
Yes, they did.
Not the same
this
one.
This land is my land. This land is your land. From California.
No, it wasn't. But they had for some reason, they had to say the phrase a couple of times, the kids in the kingdom.
Oh, really?
And, you know, with us.
Oh, yeah.
Might as well. Might as well show the guy's eyes. We were cracking up. So, anybody got...
I think it was funnier than Bugsy.
Anybody got any 2000? And at the end of the movie, the crowd just spontaneously went into applause.
Well, at the theater you were at, right? Yeah. So you guys were like the lone people out.
Dumbfounded.
And the worst part was, we waited all the way through the credits, and for the purpose of copyrights in the United Kingdom, it was made by Disney Enterprises.
Aww, that's disappointing.
That's so sad.
That's always so disappointing.
That already makes it horrible.
Yep.
So,
who has
any... That's the proof.
Who wants to say goodbye to 2008 in their own special way?
Goodbye so soon. That's another great villain song. The Goodbye So Soon song from Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, not Radigan.
Not Radigan. He has another
Radigan.
One. He's got another one.
I much
got
prefer the version
song.
From Basil on Baker Street.
No, I look forward to 2009, see what happens. And right now it's really hard to tell because with the economics the way they are, they're not, you know, woohoo. You know what we have to talk about next week? We have to make sure is where we speculate on where we think the Disney meeting will be. Not that there's any way to really know based on their choice of Albuquerque next year. I mean, last year. But, yeah, we can speculate and put out our little wish list of where we'd like to see the Disney annual because typically around this time of year, first weeks of January is when you're
I'm thinking Nebraska.
Where was Bob Iger born? He's going to go there for free on his birthday.
It'll be in Alaska.
Yeah. It's very cold up there. All right. So no one's got anything. Then we will close today's show.
Yeah.
That's weird. I feel like we should.
Well, we've been reminiscing the whole time, so it's kind of hard to. Well, here, let's reminisce in the wrap-up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the continuation of the TCM live-action films. Doobie is finally going to see Pollyanna. I T-voted the other day. So that'll be good.
I feel sorry for you.
I have the Pollyanna song.
I like Pollyanna.
On my iPhone. I went to... I did something special for the holidays this year.
What?
I watched the Christmas parade.
Yeah.
That's not special.
The Boxing Day Penultimate Parade. Yeah.
Yes. And then I watched Bedtime Stories. And... then I started worrying about New Year's Eve. And that I'm going to have to probably go to a theme park as a faithful Disney fan, and I'm not going to enjoy it.
Here's the big question. Did you see ABC Family's Miser Brothers
I
Christmas?
I did. bum 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 bum. I'm Mr. Icicle. I'm Mr. Snow. I'm Mr. Not heat blister, that would make no sense. I'm Mr. Ten Below. They call me Ice Miser. Wherever I touch, starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
There you go.
I'm Mr.
Okay.
Green Christmas. I'm Mr. Fun.
You're done.
I'm done.
Podcast at laughingplace.com.
You know it's made by the same people that make JoJo Circus?
I see that now.
JoJo, what do you say?
I see it now.
Podcast at laughingplace.com.
From 1 to 10.
1 to 10, Miser Brothers Christmas?
Yeah, 1 to 10, Miser Brothers Christmas.
Well, if they didn't have the Miser Brothers Christmas song, then, you know, it would have been a 0. But since they had the song, it's about a 4.
Yeah, I go with that, yeah. There you go.
Cool. When does College Y premiere?
January, next week.
And you care why?
I felt my belly button. It reminded me of it.
What did he host?
He hosted a segment on Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, not like in the boring white guy to be Animal Kingdom.
He was so bland reading the script for that. It was very funny.
And then they had the guy from the upcoming Disney XD show doing Epcot.
Yep.
Wow, who got the studio? Oh, at least the American Idol runner-up did the studios. I guess they win this year, huh? Yep, that's it. Have a good night.
That's it. We're done.
Podcast at laughingplace.com. 866-718-9408. 2009 predictions. I think that's it. Good night, Brent's parents.